Hi, thank you for joining us in this Microsoft Power BI Embedded Learning video. I am Saptarshi Mukherjee, Senior Product Marketing Manager, Power BI Embedded. And today we are joined by Will Thompson.
Hi there, I'm Will Thompson, one of the program managers on the Power BI team.
Today we are going to talk to you about how do you build beautiful reports that goes into your application. So for you to use Power BI Embedded, the first step is to build those beautiful reports. And Will is going to take us through the journey of creating a report that is really compelling and visually appealing for your audience. Will, it's over to you.
Thank you. Okay, so it's going to be fairly straightforward to go and build these reports. You'll be using a tool called the Power BI Desktop. This is a free tool that you can download from powerbi.com. You can get started with this straight away. And the Power BI Desktop lets you connect to data, then enrich it and model it, add calculations and that sort of thing, and then build those really rich, impactful visuals that you want to go into your reports that you're going to embed into your applications. It's really easy to get started. When you open up the Power BI Desktop, you'll have this kind of getting started screen, and there's a link here straight away to start getting data. There's actually a whole range of data sources that Power BI Desktop supports, but in this embedded scenario, we're going to focus on either SQL Database in Azure or SQL Data Warehouse in Azure. Those are the two that are supported through Power BI Embedded at the moment. I'm going to use a SQL Azure database and just hit Connect. And I have to put in the name of the server, and if I want to, I can put in the specific database name to connect to as well. So I've got one that I've already sort of got set up. And you'll see I've got an option here to either import data or use Direct Query. And again, you do need to use Direct Query here if you're using Power BI Embedded. And what this means that rather than importing data out of your database into the Power BI Desktop, we're just going to fire queries back up to that database sitting in Azure. That actually has some benefits as well. It's not necessarily a limitation. It means that as soon as the data is updated in that database, your reports will show that data straight away. It does mean that there's potentially a little bit more latency as somebody goes and refreshes the report or hits the report, the query will go back to the database. But in general, you know, this is a good thing. I can also go and specify a particular SQL statement if I want to as well. So if I've got a particular query that I want to go and run to get that data, I can do that. I'm going to leave it here though. So when I hit OK, it will go and connect up to that server and show me the databases that are available. So I've got a couple that I can choose from here, and I can use this navigator page to browse through the different tables and views in this database that I want to expose in my report. So if I click on one of these tables, I'll get a little preview showing the top 100 or so rows, just so that I can check I'm getting the right data. And I'm going to choose a few things here. So I'm going to choose our address, our customer, the products and categories. And I'll take our order data. This is a typical sort of sales database, so I've got sales orders, I've got products, customers, and I'm also going to use our tenants and users. And these are the things that are being used to secure this data. So the way that you set up the mapping between the user who's logging into your application and then what bits of the data they can see, you're going to be using these tables to enable that mapping. There's much more of that covered in the other videos in this course. Josh will show you how to set that security up elsewhere. So I could go ahead and choose this edit option, and that would allow me to do some more potentially filtering or grouping on this data as it comes into the Power BI Desktop model. But I'm actually just going to load it straight as is. I'm connecting to these tables. They've already been cleaned for me. You know, it's a reporting database that I can use to start building these reports straight away. And you'll see that Power BI Desktop now is creating these live connections back up to those tables. So here we go. You see on the right-hand side, I've got those tables pulled in. I can open these up and see the fields underneath them, and I can start working with these straight away. So if I wanted to, for example, take our sales order table, I can take our total due and drag that over to start building some visuals straight away. And it's going to go and query and say, get me the total sum of all of the totals. So, you know, all of the orders that we've got in our system come up to about $800 million. What I might want to do, though, is actually add some more information into this model to allow me to enrich it, to provide some calculated fields that might be useful in these reports, or to model the data in different ways. So one of the things that I might want to do is create relationships between that data. Over on the left-hand side of the Power BI Desktop, there's a tab that allows you to switch to a relationships view. And you'll see all of the tables that have been brought in and the relationships between them. And actually, in our case, we've got relationships have already been detected because they were defined as primary key, foreign key relationships in the database that we were pulling from. Apart from a couple of tables, so our tenant and user table, we still need to create those relationships. And actually, creating it is really, really simple. All I need to do is find the field that I want to join. Let me expand these out and find the bit I'm looking for. So I've got a tenant ID on our customer table. I'm going to drag that over and link it to the ID field on our tenant table. I'll get a little dialogue just to confirm the columns that I want to use to join are the tenant ID and to specify the type of relationship. So is it a many to one? Is it one to one? And how should I filter this data? I'm going to accept all the defaults. I know this is all set up properly. And then I'm going to do the same thing from our tenant to our users. So there you go. You can see I've created those relationships between this data as well. And basically what this is going to allow me to do from a security point of view is say users who are coming into our application are only actually able to see particular sales for particular customers. We're mapping that user to the tenant and then to a customer, and that's the way we're going to define our security. Of course, you could do something potentially way more complicated, and if you've got lots of salespeople in an organization who can see different geographies of data, perhaps, or different customers or different products, then you might want to join those in different ways. So that's creating relationships and adding to this model. One of the other key things that you might want to add here are calculations. So these are allow me to take the data that's in my database that I've just connected to and then build further fields on top of those. So I might want to take unit sales and item price and create a revenue field, or take like a revenue and a costs and then make a profit field, those sort of calculations. And there are two kind of important things that we're going to use here. One is a calculated column, where I might just be adding two fields together, something fairly simple like that. And the other one is a calculated measure. And these are potentially much more complicated. Now, we express both of these things using a language called DAX, or data analysis expressions. This is a really, really comprehensive language. There's loads and loads of things that you can do with it. And there are whole learning courses dedicated to just this. I'll show you a really, really simple one just to get started. We'll show you links in all of the descriptions for these videos to get some more information. So let's take an example. I talked about creating like a revenue field from our unit price and the order quantity. So you can see I've got a field showing me the unit price and I've got this field for order quantity. So I can click on the table and then choose either a new measure or a new column. And I can also get to that in the ribbon in Power BI Desktop. We've got options here for a new measure and a new column. So I'm going to create a new column. And this is going to be our total revenue. And it's going to be really simple. This is going to be our unit price times the order quantity. And this will get added here as another field that I can start using in my visuals. Now, the important thing to note here, because I'm using this DAX language, like I said, it's a very, very expressive language. There are some limitations when you're working in this direct query mode as to exactly how you can write those expressions and exactly what functions you can use. There's documentation on all of that sort of thing on the Power BI website as well. But just bear in mind that, you know, if you're used to using the Power BI desktop in the cached mode where you've got the data in the desktop, you might find some slight differences between the expressions that you can write. But that's a really simple one. So I'm just multiplying two fields together to get the result. So let's start building some visuals now. I think the real power of Power BI, if you'll pardon the pun, is the rich visuals that you can build and how you can make very, very compelling reports that make it really easy for your users to understand the data that they're getting out of their applications. And there are a whole range of tools available to allow you to build those visuals. Simple charts like bar charts, line charts, that sort of thing, up to more complicated visuals. You know, you can do mapping, you can do tabular type things as well if you just want to display text. And then we've actually got this framework for creating custom visualizations if the out-of-the-box ones don't do what you need them to. So we have many third parties contributing to a gallery. You can even write your own using JavaScript code that can produce exactly the visual that you need that best suits the data and the story that you want to tell. There's a whole range of formatting options. There's a whole range of customizations that you can do to all of those visuals. And then you can even use R, which is a third-party statistical package, to create visuals as well. And that opens up a huge range of other visualizations, particularly if you're looking at more kind of data mining or statistical analysis type visualizations. I'm going to show you a few different ones and give you a feel for the sort of thing you could build. So I've got a simple column chart that I've started out with, just a total due. And I'm going to do some basic things like breaking it down by the product, for example. So let's look at our different product categories. Actually, I'm going to use a slightly different field. I use that field that I created before. So I'm going to look at our product categories. And I'm going to drop in our total revenue field. turn that back into a bar chart, and you'll see I get this nice long bar chart starting to open up. I've got a few different things that I can do with these bar charts. You know, I can sort them as the sort of thing that you'd expect. Hit this little dot, 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 sort by revenue, and it'll start lining those up by largest to smallest. Maybe let's create another visual down here. We'll choose this tree map, and this time we'll look at it over different, we'll take the same total due, total revenue rather, and let's break this one down by region. So I can see that all our sales came from either the UK or the US. One of the great things about Power BI visualizations, and this is one of the great things about these reports, is all of the visuals are automatically interactive and can interact with each other and cross-highlight each other. So when I select one of these, the corresponding parts of the other charts will be highlighted. So if I just want to focus on revenue from the UK, I can see that about a little over half of our touring bike revenue came from the UK. If I click on the US, I'll see a different amount highlighted. So, you know, proportionally, we're selling many more road bikes in the UK than in the US, whereas mountain bikes is closer to 50-50. And the same will work the other way. If I want to just focus on the touring bikes, I can click on that bar in the bar chart, and it will highlight the tree map appropriately. I can keep going. You know, there's more that I could do here. I could build a simple map as well. So our mapping capability actually uses Bing to figure out where to plot points, and then also shows you the background from Bing Maps. So again, if I wanted to plot individual cities and show me the revenue from each city, you'll see how it's plotting these little bubbles. The size of the bubble is varying based on the revenue, and it's showing me the locations around the world. Now, it's doing that without knowing what are the latitude and longitudes that we need to plot. It's just doing it based off the city name. So even if you've got really simple data that's just listing the cities where your transactions have been happening, or even things like airport codes, Bing understands where all these things are. You know, anything that Bing can give you a location for, we can plot. So I can see, yeah, most of our sales are over here in Milton Keynes, of all places. You'll understand why that's weird if you come from the UK as well. I think London's there, our biggest one. And then over in the US, we've got plenty down in Florida and spread across the rest of the country. So this is a really, really simple report. And again, you can see that kind of cross-highlighting continues to happen. As I click on all the different visuals, I'll get these things being highlighted. So that's a really simple report, but it doesn't look very nice yet. We haven't really done very much to pretty it up. So let's start doing some of that. When I select one of the visuals in my reports, over on the right-hand side here, you'll see I've got a pane here where I've got control over the different fields that I'm showing in my visuals. I've got control at the bottom to show the filters that are being applied to this visuals. And then over here, this paintbrush button gives me options to format these visuals and control the look and feel of them. I'm just quickly going to show you something about these filters, because this is quite important as well. I can apply a filter to either an individual visual, to a whole page in my report, or to the entire report. If I just wanted to, for example, to filter this total revenue visual, and maybe let's just filter anything that's had less than $50,000 worth of sales, I can come and expand just this visual level filter. And then I've got options to say, you know, is it less than a certain amount or greater than or equal to? And pop in my value. So that'll filter out all of those lower 50 million. That's probably too many. Try that. There we go. Filter out all of those things where we just sold smaller amounts and keep the larger ones. But I'm just applying that visual, that filter to an individual visual. I'm doing that in that top piece here. If I wanted to apply a filter to the entire page, I can drop a field here. So again, let's take an example, maybe one of our users. I'm going to filter things down based on this. This is actually a really good way to kind of test out what a report would look like if I was logged in as that particular user. So when you're building your report and you're trying to figure out what visuals you're going to display, you can use this to test this out. So this is going to apply to all of the three visuals in my page. So for example, if I want to filter here by Jillian, I'll just select her data and all of those three charts will get filtered down. I can change and say, you know, where it contains any particular value or things match it or start in different ways. And I've got a few different options depending on whether it's a numeric field or a string that I'm filtering on. So I'll leave that one for now. The report level filters would apply to all of the different pages in my report. So for example, if I start adding new pages, I can do that along the bottom here, adding new tabs as I go and clicking on them to go backwards and forwards. A report level filter will be applied to all of the pages in my report. So every single visual is going to get filtered in that way. So let's take a look at formatting some of these visuals now. For example, bar charts, there's plenty I could do here to start making it a little bit more compelling. Everything from controlling the way that the axis is formatted, for example, I can turn those on and off. I can add in things like reference lines. So if I wanted to say, you know, we've got a constant sales target across all of these of $15,000 or something, I can add that in and I'll get this little dotted line across it. I can do things like changing the color of these. I can also control the color of the data points themselves. So by default, everything's being shown as the same color. We have a simple kind of color palette that we use for all of the default visuals, but you'll probably want to go and change this so that it matches the color choices and the themes and the UX of the application that you're going to embed this in. So, you know, if you had something that was much more focused around kind of grays and blues, then I might want to choose some different colors here. I can also, as well as changing the default for the whole of the chart, I can choose to show all of the different options within that chart and color each data point separately. So if I wanted to call out, you know, my road frames for some reason, they need to be shown differently, so I'm going to put those into a different color. So as well as going and manually setting this color, I can actually bind it to some data. So I'm going to reset this all back to the default. And I'm back on my visualization tab. You'll see there's an option here for color saturation. This is a really common sort of way that people will color their charts. By dragging a field in here, I can set the intensity of these bars and bind it to the value in that field. So maybe I want to look at, rather than the sum of that revenue, I'm going to look at the average. So bigger bars are the ones with higher total revenue. I'm coloring it based on the average revenue of each transaction. And actually, we can see that, you know, the average revenue is quite high here in Cranksets, even though it's kind of further down the list in terms of the overall revenue that we're getting. So it's a really, really useful way of setting those revenues. Setting those colors, rather. One of the interesting things here is that when you go back to that data colors tab, you'll now actually get that gradient scale rather than individual things to pick from. And again, this lets me do some interesting things. Like I can say, you know, maybe my maximum to minimum, I want a red to green scale. And again, you probably want to match it to the branding, the theming within your applications. I can also control the values at which these things are being set. So I could even do things like saying, you know, items over a certain amount, we're going to color them green. Under a certain amount, we're going to color them red. If I put in the same number into my minimum and maximum, I get this kind of split red-green based on the threshold. That's another really, really common thing that people want to do. They want to highlight the outliers. Things that are above a certain value, I'm going to highlight those in red because they're an issue, or below a certain value, you know, if things are going negative, I want to highlight those in red because those are going to be an issue as well. So I've got some color formatting options here. I showed you the reference lines. And I can also do things like adding data labels onto these data points. I've got options to say, you know, do I want to show exactly the numbers? Do I want to show them in thousands or in millions? How many decimal places do I want to show? And you'll see for each of the different data points across here, now I'm getting a little number. And I've got some control over the size of the text, etc. I've got other options around changing the title. So if I don't want it to say total revenue, this is just going to be total sales and average. I can change the text that's being shown here. I could do things like adding a background color to the title bar. This is another thing that we see is quite common when people are trying to brand their reports. And I can add borders around these charts as well, kind of in the same way. So if I set that to that nice light blue as well, I can start to build some quite nice theming and branding around these visuals. If you create one of these charts, and for example, let's say I'm setting up to match this kind of blue theme, it's easy to copy that over to other charts as well. Over on my Home tab, you'll see just as you get in PowerPoint or other Office applications, you get this Format Painter option. So I'm going to select that, and I can just copy all of the formatting that I applied over to my map, and then over to my tree map here as well. And so now they've all got these blue borders with the headers, and the headers have been colored in the right way. And if I was copying between charts of the same type, it would copy the other formatting options that apply in both places. So for example, if I change the font color that was used on the axes, that would copy from one place to the other as well. So the last thing that I might want to do in kind of formatting and laying out these visuals is make sure that everything's nicely aligned. And again, kind of really focusing on the small things, like getting things aligned and getting things the right size and the right shape, and thinking about the aspect ratio of my charts and the aspect ratio of my page, can really help take your report from something simple that's just showing some data to something really compelling that's telling a story and educating the users about the data they're seeing. And so one of the really useful things is aligning your charts properly. So I can control select to choose multiple of these visuals. And then up on the ribbon again, I've got a format tab to allow me to do things like changing the Z order or aligning them left, right, top, bottom. Again, just like you'd expect from something like PowerPoint. So let's align these ones at the top. You'll also see on our formatting pane, options under general to exactly set the X and the Y position and the height and the width. So you can make sure that all of your charts are the same size, all of the charts match up nicely. So I also mentioned about setting the aspect ratio of the whole page. And this is especially important when you're thinking about embedding these reports inside another application. Typically in a web app, you know, you're going to have some Chrome, you're going to have some navigation elements perhaps, and then you're going to have a certain size and area within your web page where you want to show these visuals. And the report doesn't have to be this kind of 16 by 9 page that you're building here in Power BI Desktop. You can actually control this and set this to any size you want. So let's say I created something that was a little bit smaller. I'm just kind of providing a summary that I want to have in my application. And now I want to shrink the page down to match the size of the iframe that I'm going to have in my application. When I don't have any visuals selected here, if I go over to the formatting tab, I'll see some properties that I can set on the page itself, including the size and the aspect ratio of the page. So by default, we'll give you the 16 by 9 or 4 by 3 size. I can set it set up for Cortana, which is a separate integration that we can do where it'll appear in your start menu when you start typing queries to Cortana. I can use a letter size, or I can customize it and set it to anything that I want. So for example, let's say my iframe is going to be 700 pixels by 700, do 700 pixel square, why not? You'll see now that the page is relayed out here to match exactly that. And that means that now I can control exactly how my visuals are laid out within this page, and that will be reflected when it's embedded in the application, that it'll take up exactly the right size and space that we're giving it in the app. So it's really, really important if you're thinking about, how am I going to embed this? How are other people going to see this report? Think about that, the size, the layout, et cetera, et cetera. So these are some simple things that I can do with just the basic out-of-the-box charts. One of the other things that I might want to do is add some custom visualizations into here. And actually, we have a gallery where you can go and download visuals that third parties have created and that Microsoft have created with our custom visuals framework. And there's a whole bunch of visuals available. If you go to visuals.powerbi.com, you'll see this big long list of every sort of thing that we've been creating. These are using a JavaScript framework called D3. It's very common in the DataViz world to create these visuals. And so you'll see a lot of things that perhaps you've spotted in other websites that use D3. We've also got some really unique ones, things like Sandance, which is a great way for exploring very large data sets of individual points. We've got animated charts that show you changes over time and highlight events that happen at certain time periods. We've got more statistical ones like box and whisker plots, etc. We've even got things like 3D maps. So the great thing with this visual gallery is not only can you download the visual for use in your own report, but you can also download a sample that gives you a Power BI desktop file that you can just open up and play around with to see how they've created it. Downloading the visuals is really simple, just click the download button. And then if you want to use these in your own reports, on our visualizations pane, I hit this little dot, dot, dot button, import a custom visual, and then go and browse to that visual. So let's take, for example, I could use that Sandance chart that I spoke about. There's a whole range of things I could choose in here. I've actually already got another report open that's got the same data that I've used this 3D map for, and I've done a little bit more work on kind of arranging this and printing it up so that it's nicely laid out. And again, you can see now I've got this 3D map. So not only do I get those flat maps from Bing, I've actually got a 3D globe that I can browse and zoom in and out on with my data in it. And one of the great things with these custom visuals is they're still interactive and can cross-highlight just like I could with any other visuals. So if I just want to focus on sales of saddles, I can see that and the map's readjusting. All of the visuals are changing to reflect the data that's being selected. Select a particular user, it focuses on the region that he was selling in. So these custom visuals give you a whole range more visualization choices that you can use inside your reports and inside your applications. So putting all of those things together, you can do a lot with these reports. And I've got a really great example that I wanted to show of kind of how far you can take it. And if you've got a little bit of design expertise, a little bit of graphic training as well, and you've got the time to go and think about exactly how you're going to lay these things out, this is the sort of report that you could end up creating. So there's a member of the Power BI community who created this, not a Microsoft employee, just a guy out there who's a really great fan of Power BI and really great fan of data visualization. He created this, published it up onto the community forums. You can find out about those at community.powerbi.com. So he decided that he wanted to focus on sentiment analysis for particular brands, and he, in this case, Cheetos. So he went to Twitter and to Facebook and a whole bunch of other places and looked for mentions of these particular brands. And so now he's got this way of slicing and dicing the data by different time periods, different trends for comments about this brand, whether people's sentiment was neutral or negative or other things, and then how many mentions there were across blogs and Facebook and Twitter and other networks, with some really nice choices of visuals to allow people to understand, well, actually, during April on the web, Twitter was the place that we got most of the mentions. Maybe let's have a look at the sentiment of these different tweets. go through to one of the other pages. You can see, you know, there's a few positive tweets happening around the web during March. We actually find that most of the mentions come kind of 4 p.m. in the afternoon. Saturday and Sunday seem to be slightly bigger days than the other days of the week. And again, they're all very interactive and everything can kind of slice and dice each other. This gives you an idea of kind of the richness of these reports that you can create using Power BI. So that's kind of everything I wanted to show. I've talked to you a bit about how we're going to connect to data using the Power BI desktop. We can enrich the models that we create using calculations. And then we can start building some really impactful, rich visualizations that allow me to slice and dice data in different ways, and then format it to match the branding of the application that I'm going to embed it in, so it fits exactly in the space that I've got in my application. And then the result is a PBIX file that you're going to use to upload and embed using Power BI embedded in your application. So there's plenty more information you can find on our documentation about how you can build these reports. There's a whole course on using Power BI Desktop that focuses different areas on different visualizations and gives you plenty and plenty of detail. You'll have a few hours of content listening to me talk more about that in more detail if you want to find it. So thanks very much for your time, and I hope you can build some really interesting and impactful reports.